scientists have been consuming whiskey at a rate of knots, and Luke O'Neill has managed just to stop so he can come in with an air of sobriety and talk to us about this topic. Luke O'Neill, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Whiskey.
Isn't the science at its best?
Science,
we love science, you know, John.
Yeah, the science of whiskey.
The
never
science of
it.
Whiskey. These scientists, the eminent Heidelberg University, one of the oldest places in Europe, decided to do a study on whiskey. And they've invented a way, a really accurate way, to date, you know, the whiskey, what age it is, its blend, you know, where it comes from even, coming out done chemically. They have a new method of analyse. Take a drop of whiskey, basically.
Is it the genetics of whiskey?
It's almost, call it a fingerprint, precisely. Yeah. And they invented these six different dyes, strangely, that fluoresce, little lights come off them, and you stick the whiskey in and you get a particular type of fluorescence. You know, now this seems unlikely, but this seems to be a really accurate way to, the big fear is counterfeit whiskey, you see, and trying to prove the whiskey is what it says it is on
the tin. Well,
that
was just good. The real question is why? Why you know, would
that,
one
that's
do
the reason. Well, you know how much whiskey is sold in America, Jonathan, every year?
Go
I always
on.
Ask Pat these. He never knows the answer. $3.1 billion worth of whiskey is sold in America a year, in North America alone, in the United States. A huge market, you know. And of course, the bootleggers, the counterfeiters are in there, you know. They're adulterating it in various ways. So the whiskey industry needs a way to say, this is really Jack Daniels, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah,
so,
and obviously, you know, the whiskey connoisseurs of the world will know that it's not just your bottle of Jameson. You've got the Jameson or the Middleton, that is the rare Middleton, and then the one that, you know, they got from the cask that subsequently fell apart, and it's the most valuable whiskey. All of that stuff is traceable.
It is now, yeah. And what the problem is, if you take random selection of whiskies, you can age them based on their type of signal. You know, so ones that are, say, 20 years old give a particular signal off this dye. You know, ones that are from a certain part of Scotland, even regional identity was identifiable using this special detection system, which is extremely powerful then. You know, there's no way you can fiddle it anymore. And remember, Jonathan, the most expensive bottle of whiskey ever was $500,000 for a single bottle of whiskey.
I thought you were going to stop at the 500. No, $500,000.
That's the record for a bottle of whiskey. And they checked that was the real stuff, of course.
You'd still be locked after the fourth or fifth.
Isn't it strange? Yeah, I presume it's
how expensive
for some other reason they buy it.
Now,
yeah.
they tested 33 whiskies in total.
They did initially. Yeah, that's exactly right.
How much did they spend on whiskey?
Now, what was very... They couldn't get funding for this. The government wouldn't fund this. Now, would the Irish government fund me to do whiskey research, do you think? It's a bit unlikely.
Is there a new minister with responsibility for that? We'll come back to that.
Oh, there's a good shout. I wish there was. There should be, but there isn't. There should
whiskey
be a minister for science.
Luke.
That's right, yeah. They spent €1,000 initially themselves with their own money, you know, because they couldn't get funding for this.
Yeah, they got,
now, of course,
they got the drink.
Did you know there's a special whiskey research lab in Scotland, you know, the Scotch Whiskey Association funds
they
research.
They take it very seriously.
They're not knocking on the door, and these guys give us that test. We'd like, because it's much better than what they're doing. You know, the normal test is called gas chromatography. Strangely, is what they use, a chemical kind of analysis. This is much better.
Yeah, the gas chromatography—that sounds very old-fashioned.
It's very old-fashioned compared to a fluorescent dye. That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, of course, if you drink whiskey, you tend to either become one of two things: extremely depressed, or you think you're an awful great lad altogether.
We're bringing science to the nation again. Did you know our beer goggles real? That's the question. There's a great paper. It's called "Beauty is in the Eye of the Beer Holder." So if you drink, do you find...
Are you just pushing all the kind of nonsense science things through when Pat is out?
Absolutely. I need to appreciate that. So it turns out beer goggles are real. They've tested this scientifically. You find someone else more attractive.
And they tested it brilliantly on the French.
They did. 86 Frenchmen. Why are the French always involved in these things? It's 86 Frenchmen were tested. They had to drink a sip of alcohol or not. And then they filmed themselves, amazingly, making a speech or whatever, and then rated their own attractiveness. So it was kind of a...
So is it the placebo effect? So they put placebos. And then those that didn't have... who took the placebo were less confident than the guys who actually did.
Yeah, and they thought they were much more attractive themselves. It's tricky if you have a man and a woman and you find the woman more attractive. That could be very subjective. You know, it could be various reasons. But if you look at it yourself, oh, that's a wonderful video. If you had a few drinks, you think you're beautiful. You know, you think you're wonderful.
So. Yeah, well, fair few drops now in my case before I think I'm beautiful. But anyway, if you drilled down into this, if I came in here, if I went out and had a pint at 10 o'clock, which is not my want, thankfully, and came back in here, I would be absolutely self-conscious.
Really?
That I wouldn't be good enough. Yeah. And I'd be listening to every word, and every stumble and fall is, oh, that's the drink.
You'd be too aware of it.
It doesn't happen to me.
So isn't that strange?
Is it down to the individual?
It could be partly. But if you saw yourself doing it and you were a bit nervous, you might think, oh, John looks fantastic this morning.
Yeah.
He's saying all the wonderful things.
Well, you know? When you're doing it, I suppose when you're used to doing it sober, drink probably isn't a help.
Exactly,
the other thing is, I love this from Australia. beer goggles of a different kind.
That's right. Yeah, again, bringing science. It's the Australian jewel beetle keeps having sex with the stubbies. You know, in Australia, they call these brown bottles of beer stubbies.
Now, I have an obvious question. How big is the Australian jewel beetle?
Well, it's pretty large. That's right. Yeah, but it turns out they're dying out because of this. Because these beer bottles, the poor old male beetle thinks this is a female and tries to have its way with the beer bottle. Because it's the right colour, you see, and the right texture and the way it smells and stuff. So it's a really, like, they're called super females, by the way, in
this
the beetle world.
It doesn't speak very highly of the female jewel beetle, does it?
Well, the females don't do it, by the way. They don't get mistaken. It's only the poor old guys, as usual, you see. And then they die because of the heat, and they get trapped in these beer bottles. And now there's a big campaign, don't throw the stubby out, because these beetles
are... So the little beetle comes along. He thinks, I get a whiff of something, crawls into the bottle...
Absolutely, and tries to mate somehow. Yeah,
fills his boots, so to speak.
I think he realises pretty quickly there's no beetle in there, mind you. You know, but the heat of the sun and these beetles are challenged by this. It's a serious enough study in a way, because they want to keep these beetles going.
And just to finish up on this particular low tone,
yes,
pee pressure.
I thought you'd like this one as well. Again. Science never sleeps. If you're bursting to go to the toilet, don't make a decision. Because they've shown
the
urgency feeling alters your decision making. And this is a really kind of clever study in a way. They got people to make decisions on things when they were either dying to go or not. And on average, they made the wrong decision. It wasted test if they were bursting. So it distracts you. Your logic and your reasoning goes out the window.
That is true. And like people who are used to driving distance, so if you drive on the motorway, if you distract yourself sufficiently, the problem goes away.
Yeah.
Whereas if you make a decision, I'm going to have to pull off now. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to have to go to the motorway service station. Yeah. I'm going to have to do whatever. Then it becomes more of a problem.
Absolutely.
This has been the most enlightening science conversation I have had since the back of the chemistry class in Gloucester Street in fifth year. And I wasn't paying attention on that day either.
And it's all true. As well, remember, you heard it here first.
Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much for that, Luke. Oh, hang on one second. Question for you. Is it true that Irish whiskey is clear and is dyed?
Oh, that's a good... They do put dye in, sadly. Some of these whiskies have a caramel kind of colour they stick in to make it a bit more, more appealing to the eye, I guess.
I think the only thing we have to go on a trip down to the distillery.
We do
to
test this, precisely.
Distilleries, if you're listening, myself and Luke will be there at short notice. Thank you very much for that, Luke.